Peace and blessings be upon you. Welcome to the Ta'lif Podcast, a space where we aim to provide content and connect our spiritual hearts with community, love, service, and prophetic wisdom.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I pray that you are all doing well. It is an honor and a privilege, alhamdulillah, to be joining you this evening to discuss, of course, the beautiful text that we've been working through, which is the Compendium of the Prophetic Narrative, compiled by Sheikha Samira Al-Zayed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to ennoble her face and raise her rank and number her amongst those that are the elite and chosen of Allah Azza wa Jal. With that being said, let's send Surah Fatiha to her as a gift, bi'idni rahmi. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Bismillah, Surah Fatiha. Jazakum al-khair. So with that, inshallah, to begin our class, which I'm super excited about, which is tonight, bi'idni rabbi, we will be discussing the Battle of Badr, right? Which is something that happens in the second year after the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we will begin, inshallah, with the translated intention of Imam al-Haddad. I will say it, bi'idni rabbi, please repeat after me. And then we'll expound on it a bit, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I intend to learn and to teach, to benefit and to be benefited, to remind and to be reminded, to call to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to guide and to be guided by sound proof and correct knowledge, to seek the countenance of my Lord, nearness to him and his reward. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. We're also here by the intention to expose ourselves to the mercy of Allah, to expose ourselves to his maghfirah and his generosity, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to expand our hearts that it may be filled with love for Allah, love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we may have a deepened understanding of Allah and his messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and our deen, that we may be amongst those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens with hikmah, that we may be amongst those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to have a close, intimate relationship with him and a close, intimate relationship with our beloved messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah would save us and our lineage from the hellfire and that he would grant us jannatul firdaws ala. Allahumma ameen. I want to say again, jazakum al khair for joining this class, as it is something that I can just honestly say has enhanced and enriched my life. And it's something that without question, anytime we study the life of Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it always brings us closer and nearer to him, alhamdulillah. And so, bismillah, during this time in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so far it's been marked by kind of almost like a non-violent movement, like a non-violent approach. Like for the most part, they've been spreading the deen. They've been practicing in the beginning. They were practicing in secret. And then after practicing in secret for a number of years, it's become more open. Of course, we know the amount of attacks, right? The outrageous attacks that were on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and upon the companions. So this moment in Islamic history is a huge moment because it marks a big shift in terms of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been dealing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the early companions of the Muslims. It's not long before this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given them permission to fight back, right? Has given them actual permission to be able to take not just only a non-violent approach, but to be able to stand up for themselves in terms of military conflict, in terms of military battle. And subhanAllah, in the wisdom of Allah azza wa jal, because they were small, right? And few in number. And even though, right, they're still small, they're not as small as they were before. But in comparison to the Quraishi army, you know, they are a much smaller number, but they're much stronger in terms of their unity, right? They're much stronger in terms of their iman, that they don't actually engage in battle until, subhanAllah, it has become quite clear and quite apparent in terms of their firmness of their iman, of their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of also the firmness of the ranks of their brotherhood, right? That they're in sisterhood, that they're really clear, subhanAllah, about the love and the bond that they share between each other, and how important it is for them to actually sacrifice, right, their life, not only for each other, of course, but for the messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so now they have established within themselves this deep sense of camaraderie and community and a high level of commitment. And so right before the Battle of Badr, there had been a number of skirmishes, right? Things that had small battles that had happened between the Muslims and the Quraysh. And so at this particular battle, what's important to know is that these caravans, there's a caravan of the Meccans who have come from Mecca. They're going on their way to Syria. And on their way to Syria, as they're returning back, like this is a known trade route, right? And the Battle of, and excuse me, the particularly the Badr Valley is a known kind of stopping place for those trade routes. Now, why would, you know, we have to understand exactly why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them permission to kind of attack, you know, these trade routes, or particularly to attack the Quraysh at this particular time. So it's important to understand that majority of the goods that they're carrying, right, and the wealth that they're gaining is as a result of what the Quraysh have actually stolen from the Muslims inside of Mecca. A lot of their economic power at that particular time is directly connected to the homes that they had seized when the Muslims were migrating into Medina, in addition to, you know, not only their homes, but their property. And so now the Quraysh, subhanAllah, were actually taking their property, right, selling it at different places, gaining wealth from it, then sometimes directly selling it on these caravans into Syria, directly selling some of the goods. And remind you, not all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were poor and destitute. You have the likes of Abu Bakr, you have the likes of even Uthman ibn Affan. These were very wealthy men, right? And so in taking over, amongst other companions who were, you know, we would say either mid or above some of the average people in terms of the wealth that they had collected. And so for them to then take this over, right? Like imagine someone goes into your home, right? Seizes the home itself and everything in it, and then begins to sell it in these caravans, and, you know, begin to make money off of it, and then increase their business. And so without, this is already a deep economic war on the Muslims, right? This is a deep economic attack on the Muslims. And so they're just, you know, again, benefiting from their wealth. And so subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jalla actually gives permission for the Muslims to say, you know what, you have every right, right, to take back. You have every right, of course, to claim, right, your own property. You have every right to be able to, you know, to engage in getting your things, subhanAllah. And so again, this is a big change in the life of the Muslims. And so just to kind of move forward with to kind of set the scene, there are a number of spies that are sent from the Quraysh to spy on the Muslims, to kind of see what are they planning, what are they plotting. And Abu Sufyan, who is the leader of the Quraysh at the time, he sends a group of men into the Muslim area, disguising themselves, kind of, you know, getting different information, and they find out that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually planning an attack, right? And so as he's planning an attack on that particular caravan on their way back from Syria, you know, they decide, okay, based upon this, you know, this intel that we've gotten, they're going to reroute where they're going. And so now, alhamdulillah, the same exists, subhanAllah, on the side of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the military strategy has gained a bit of sophistication with the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as with some of those early companions. And so they also have sent out spies. As a matter of fact, as they sent out spies, they know their plan. They know exactly that they've, you know, sent spies. They know that they're going to reroute. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically has several, I guess you could say, brigades, right? Those who are a unit directly with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you have another unit that is under Ali ibn Abi Talib. So some of them are from, there's a group that are from the Muhajirin, those who migrated from Mecca. And then, of course, there is a group that are from the Ansar on another side, kind of, you know, engaging this together from different angles. So that particular night, subhanAllah, the night before the Battle of Badr, when the army is coming back, they decide to rest, right, in Badr. They decide to rest in the valley of Badr. And part of it is a deep sense of almost arrogance, you know, a deep belief in that they cannot be harmed, that the Muslims are a small band, they are a small few. So even if they saw them or they, you know, were able to catch them while they were resting in this valley, there was kind of a deep sense of like, we're not worried, we'll take them on, right? We'll take them on. And, you know, and almost feeling a sense of, you know, pride in like, you know, I'd be happy to engage with them. And so, subhanAllah, there are about 1,000 of them. They're close to 1,000, more than a little over 994, close to 1,000 of them. And including with the leaders, they're right at 1,000. And who is present other than Amr ibn Hisham, which is Abu Jahl, right? And so Abu Jahl is known, of course, to be one of the great enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as to the Muslims in terms of his just unwavering, you know, unwavering attacks on the Messenger of Allah والسلام, and the Muslims, and his unwavering harshness. And so there is, you know, a deep sense of like wanting, right? Like the Muslims, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Muslims permission to engage in these battles, it's literally like they Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unleashes a lion inside of them, not just the lion of courage, but the lion that had been chained in terms of their deep sense of hurt. Right, they're hurt, you know, in terms of their honor and, you know, their good pride, because these were still very manly men. These were still, you know, they still come from a society where they at least wanted to defend themselves. And so as Allah Azza wa Jal was teaching them self-restraint and patience and learning how to wait for the command of Allah, right? Like, yes, we know that you're capable. Yes, we know that you're physically strong, but you still have to wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Right? You can't just jump on your own. A deep lesson for all of us as Muslims to say, Ya Rabbi, I don't move, right? Until you give me the command, until you've given me permission, and waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be able to say, Allah has given us that. And so, alhamdulillah, when that was given, it was literally described as if like they had been set free. Right, from the burden that they felt of just having to stomach the attacks, the insults, the raids on them, you know, taking of their houses and their property. Like they had just been full, right? With just being overwhelmed by this level of oppression. And so for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, well, now I'm going to not only release you to be able to engage in battle, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them support. And so again, going back to that fateful night in the Valley of Badr, when the Quraysh have decided to sleep out, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has actually taken over the wells that are in the area. And so many of the wells were already controlled by the Muslims. And so it's important because wells are, they're your source of water, right? And who controls the water has a lot of power from the beginning, because anyone is going to need water to be able to drink, to be able to sustain themselves. And the Muslims had really taken control over those particular wells. So even as they would come, right, to be able to get water, as they were settling into that camp for the night, they wouldn't be able to do that, except that they would encounter the Muslims, even those who were hiding in secret, as they approached the well. And so two young men approached one of those wells and were actually seized by some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taken for all their information, right? Like basically captured, interrogated, you know, and they were able to get from them intel on exactly what was happening with the Quraysh. And as a result of that, this began to give the Muslims a bit, of course, of an upper hand in the war, subhanAllah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, having those brigades already stationed and ready, you know, ready for battle. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the most part, encourages the companions to rest, right? Like to prepare for the battle that's going to happen the next day. And so they arrive around, and it's interesting that we're in this same month that it occurs from the Gregorian standpoint, not on the Hijri calendar, but on the Gregorian calendar. This happens around like this night where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually brings the Muslims is the 11th, right? They then settle in March 12th. This is when they capture the men, and they're waiting in the valley at these wells, and actually in some of the secret regions. And it's the next day, March 13th, that actually marks the actual Battle of Badr in the 624th year in the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so as the Muslims are resting up, the Prophet والسلام, begins to engage in just a qiyam al-layl, right? He's engaging in just deep, deep prayer and communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet والسلام, is just standing and praying deep in the night, crying out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for his help and his assistance. And it is described as that literally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beginning to, like, he begins to train malaika, right? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is engaging in this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally teaching the malaika military strategy, right? He's teaching the angels exactly where to strike, right? Where to strike them at on the neck, so that it becomes success, right? A clean success on the battlefield. And the malaika are actually so pleased, right? They're actually extremely happy and ecstatic that they have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to defend the life of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And so this, you know, is huge, right? The angels are like, alhamdulillah, that we have been chosen as those who are actually going to defend the life of Habibullah salatu wasalam alayhi. Now, interestingly enough, there is an army of the shayateen that are also preparing, right? There's an army of the shayateen that are also preparing, subhanAllah, for this battle. And, you know, and like literally preparing to fight and to take on forms of different Quraysh. And subhanAllah, encouraging the Quraysh also to be able to engage in this battle. And so literally what you, as you know, on the external side, right, from a dhahiri perspective, from a, you know, what would be apparent, what's happening in the apparent realm is that you have two armies of men that are preparing to fight, right? But then on the batini realm, right, on the realm beyond the veil, is that you have the army of malaika, right, preparing to fight against an army of the shayateen. And so of course, who's going to win, especially as the malaika have been trained, right, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taught exactly what to do. And so hence begins one of the most significant battles in Islamic history. So with that being said, I want to, you know, there again, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prepared the armies, they're in place. I want to kind of go directly to the battle begins, right? When Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, the son of Walid, and his brother Shayba, stood in front of the pagan army and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to send out one of their equals, right? And of course, hundreds of the companions are around him and, you know, want to be called on by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they want to be chosen, right, in order to do this. And so who does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam call out? Of course, you know, it's Ali, right, and Ubaydah al-Harith, who are all from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ali and Hamza, subhanAllah, and of course Ali destroys al-Walid. He destroys Walid in this particular army, and Hamza killed Utbah, right? It just like boom. It's, of course, this is Hamza, right, who's known as being a lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessed and beloved uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when the battle begins, right, this is like the way, you know, when it becomes known the next day, when it's like, okay, this is it, right? Those, they're not able to get the water, the battle has begun. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has finished the prayer, the Muslims have prayed, and they're ready to go, and they meet each other on the battlefield. And as they meet each other, the Quraysh are like, send out your men. And it's Ali ibn Abi Talib, right? Asad Allah, the lion of Allah. It's Hamza, subhanAllah, who have come out. And of course, immediately Ali kills Walid, Hamza kills Utbah, and they both assist, right? Because initially, Ubaydullah is not initially successful with Shayba. And Shayba actually died immediately. And Ubaydah was the first martyr in this battle, subhanAllah. And that just, it's on, right? So it's like they come out, and subhanAllah, now the battle is on. And as the battle is ensuing, right, as the battle is ensuing, what, there are some miraculous things, of course, that even the companions are able to be a witness. So at the Battle of Badr, there are 300, what's known is that there are 313, right, who are on the battlefield with the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, fighting, right, in this particular war. And, but they are against, right, they're more than outnumbered by 3-1, more than that, right? So initially, subhanAllah, most people would say that this is for the, on the Quraysh side, they're like, oh, this is about to be a clean sweep, right? They're feeling like, oh, this is going to be easy. This is about to be a very easy war we're engaging in. We're about to just clear them out, right? And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly has a different plan. They're thinking they're going to clear them out. And as the battle ensues and the Muslims are just fighting ferociously, subhanAllah, with all that you know, with all of their iman and all of their ikhlas, their sidq, their sincerity intact, right? And making sure, this is another thing about their sincerity on this battlefield, is that this is a time where they're like, I'm making sure, right, that my heart is clean to do this, except for no other reason other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And understanding, like, this Allah has told them, you've got to stand up for justice. Right. And this is a big deal, because before that, again, their hearts had been, you know, to some degree, a level of pacifism that they had, you know, been engaging, which takes another level of iman and another level of strength. But now to say, I'm not doing it out of my own anger, right? That I'm not fighting for my own rage. I'm not even fighting, even the Muslims at this case, is like, I'm not even fighting, right, for dunya, because it's something that I want, but that I have to establish the law of Allah, right? That we have to establish, right, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come, you know, has ordered us to establish. Other than that, you will continue to kill people without right. The oppressors will continue to take the lives and the property of people without right, especially that this idea that might makes right, right? That because we are mightier than you, because meaning in terms of more in number, or that we have more muscle, or because we have more weapons than you, this deep sense of might makes right. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is destroying in this moment. This idea of might makes right, or that wealth is power, right? This Calvinistic idea that wealth is power, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, iman is power, taqwa is power, ihsan is power, fighting on the side of Allah is power. Having self-restraint and waiting for the command of Allah and to be led according to the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is power. That in this moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala it's not just men that are being slaughtered. This is a war against principles. Right? This is a war against understanding that you have got to stop trying to wipe out the deen of Allah. That those of you who are thinking that, you know, you can just push religious people into secularism because it's beneficial for you, or that you can push people into this belief of literally shirk in terms of like worshiping, right, stones and wealth and power in this way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this has got to end, right? And so, again, as the battle ensues, there are two young men, who literally say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who say to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who say to another companion on the battlefield, "Show me Abu Jahl." They're two small boys, right, who are brothers. That subhanAllah, their mother sent them out. Right. And she literally was like, "Ya Rasulullah, I don't have anything." And this is important, that she's like, "I don't have anything to give. I want to give in support of you, O Messenger of Allah. I want to be able to contribute to this." Right. And she's known that she had two braids of her hair, that she cut these braids of her hair and said, "This is all I have, right, to give you, O Messenger of Allah. Like, may it be khair for you. May it be a means of a benefit for you." And it literally becomes, for some of these young men, reins on their horses. SubhanAllah. From this companion, the Sahabiyan of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's like, I'm going to give everything, right? I'm going to give my hair. And so, SubhanAllah, it becomes something that is used as the reins of horses. And so, SubhanAllah, these two young men who then asked the other companion, "Show me Abu Jahl," right? "Show me the one who's the enemy of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And when they see Abu Jahl, right? And initially, some of the other soldiers, these are big men, right? Who are like, You want to know, you young men on this battlefield, you want to know who Abu Jahl is? Like, you're trying to take on, you know, this, like, you're trying to take on the giant. And so, like, from their zeal, they just say, that's, you know, let me point him out. There he is, right? That's Abu Jahl. And literally, right, they go and they take him. They literally pull him down from his horse. And subhanAllah, take the life of Abu Jahl, which is like a big, now it becomes enraging, right? Now it becomes enraging. The Quraysh army realizing what has happened, that one of their top leaders has been injured at this point. And then Umayyah ibn Khalif has been, is also ensuing in the, but they are just like, they start to just rev up. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends in, right, the brigade of the Malaika. And as the brigade of the Malaika come, subhanAllah, literally, that even the companions begin to witness, like, even as they're about to strike someone, that person is already down. They're about to come attack this person, and they just see their head being removed, and they're already down. As a matter of fact, even Shaitan, when he sees what's happening, when he sees the presence of the angels and they're fighting and they're very clear success, like one strike, it's over, right? And how fast they're clearing out the army of the Quraysh, the Shayateen, the army, Shaitan and his army retreat, right? They tuck their tails and run. Tuck their tails and run, subhanAllah, out of fear of the angels. And of course, when the Muslims are seeing this, they are a witness to these miracles that are happening. I want us to understand that this is, that to be able to say I stood shoulder to shoulder with Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an, or Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an, alayhi salam, to say that I stood shoulder to shoulder in battle with these greats is one thing. It's another thing to say that I stood in battle with the malaika, right? With the angels of Allah. This is a whole nother, you know, this is a whole nother level, subhanAllah. And so this is something that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, are feeling a deep sense, right? A feeling, a deep sense of just redemption and rescue from Allah. This is mostly the point. And so after the, you know what happens is that once now Shaitan has retreated from the battlefield, and Shaitan has retreated from the battlefield, subhanAllah, and left, and, you know, all that hype that he was giving them, all that, you know, pumping them up and making them feel, you know, as if they were, you know, like they could conquer and they could, you know, this would be an easy battle. Now that they've left, of course, now that same you know, morale that they thought they had, and that same kind of raw, you know, raw ego that they were running on, and those, you know, is now depleting, right? It's now depleting. And so in the middle of the battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, then grabs a handful of gravel. Right, he grabs a handful of gravel, and as he grabs the handful of gravel and he throws it, and this is that beautiful moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds in the Quran, it's not you who threw, O Muhammad, it's I who threw. Right, like it's as if it's from the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the power and the force of that gravel becomes something that even the sand, right, is defeating them. The sand is blinding them and literally becomes something that becomes like a gust of wind, you know, in their faces, subhanAllah, as well as defeating them. And when he did this, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like saying, you know, like, may you be destroyed for what you've done, Right. And they're terrified. Right? There's a deep sense that comes over the Quraishi army, like this deep sense of just deep fear. Right? Deep fear. Deep fear and a sense of defeat. And so, subhanAllah, the Muslims keep as they are falling in their egos are becoming deflated. Right, as their anger is being squelched, and now the hype of shaitan is removed, and they are, you know, seeing like we came with three times plus the men, and we outweaponed them. We had more weapons. We were more prepared, so they thought. And as they're just seeing what's happening, and their men laying on the battle. When they literally see polytheism and disbelief and oppression laid to rest, and what's taking over? Faith, iman, sincerity, courage for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shuja', like what's taking over, right, is the deen of Allah. And they are literally the Muslims, as they say, are taking heads and taking names. And they are literally, subhanAllah, taking in prisoners, lay you out, take you as prisoners, lay you out, take you as prisoners. And subhanAllah, taking them into their camp. And of course, at the end of this, the Muslims are successful. And this now, this moment of victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this great victory that Allah azza wa jalla gives them, becomes the turning point for it, for basically, of course, the Quraishi respect for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, where before there was this feeling of they're just a small band, right? Why, how we should have exterminated them right when they were in Mecca. Now it lands the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the most powerful human being inside of the Arabian Peninsula. It says the Muslims are a force to be reckoned with, and that this is no ordinary man. That this is no ordinary man. This is no ordinary community, and they are not backed by anything ordinary. It causes, subhanAllah, all those, not only the Quraysh, but all those who hear about it, to take notice and to recognize there's something unique, something special, something that we should be in awe about regarding this man. SubhanAllah. So with that being said, inshallah, we'll stop there. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina habibina mawlana Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina mawlana Muhammad. Ya Allah, we ask that you please give us a complete and perfect faith after which there is no disbelief. Give us certainty in you after which we never doubt, and keep us firm upon sirat al-mustaqim. Ya Rabbi, place the energy in our bodies and the fortitude in our hearts to worship you properly. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us khushu' in our salah. Give us a connection with you, Ya Rabbi. Give us an intimacy with you. Ya Allah, we ask that you allow us to have a close relationship with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us the understanding and the mind and the heart to be able to follow his example. Ya Allah, we ask that you bless us to see him in our dreams and to be visited by him and receive mubashara from him. Glad tidings, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us for our sins and our mistakes and our transgressions. Remove the stain of those sins and mistakes and transgressions from upon our hearts and from upon the hearts of those that we've harmed. Allah, we ask that you please elevate us, mold and shape us into servants of yours with whom you're well pleased. Protect us from every evil, from every harm, from every darkness. Illuminate us with a light from your light. Grant us a dignity from your dignity. Ya Rabbi, and a salam and a peace and a sakina from your salam, Ya Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Thank you for tuning in. Please consider becoming a monthly sustainer by joining 1,000 Hearts of Ta'lif and committing to give $3 a day to keep this work coming to seekers, youth, and newcomers to Islam. Sign up today at www.ta'lifcollective.org/donate. We hope you enjoy the variety of sessions available and hope you benefit immensely. Allah bless you and Allah bless your loved ones.